Hallelujah. I want to add my thank you for what has already been said, for all of those that have been a help in these meetings, the sound department, the ones that do the different things on the screen, and the people who have served after you know, the service has been over, and just, you know, the people that help out in the nursery. I don't know what all the different things that are going on. There's so many things that are going on at a church during a meeting. We just want to say what a blessing to be a part of a family. And Annie and I love this company. We love this family. We're excited about where we're going. We believe that the best is yet to come. We know that we just have not seen it all. We know that God's got so much more. I remember Dr. Dufresne said, you know what, if the Lord was to come this week and on our way up there, he goes, I'd have to ask the Lord, is that all you got? But how many of you know, we know that's not all he's got. There's so much more, and we're just thrilled we can participate in God's plan. And there's a plan for all the family churches and for your life. And, you know, I was thinking yesterday or today, I was thinking about a meeting we had in Maui, Hawaii. That's one place we never have to pray about the will of the Lord, whether we're to go there to have that meeting or not. It just seems to be an easy thing to say yes to. But we were just waiting on the Lord before the service, you know, as we always do, and seek the Lord for what we're to do that night. And I was just getting quiet, and I just found myself saying to the Lord, I said, Lord, what would you want to heal tonight? Just like that. Lord, and I've never prayed that before, that a prayer like that. I said, Lord, what would, I didn't say who, I said, what, we know it's his will to heal all of us, whosoever. And so I said, Lord, what would you want to heal tonight? And just these two things came up out of my spirit. I just spoke them out, and I said, well, that's interesting. I've never even voiced those words in a meeting before. And I really can't remember what they were, but I said, well, that's what we'll do. And I got to the meeting, and I ministered a word, and then I said, no, the Lord wants to do something before we go here tonight. I said, the Lord told me that there was two things here he wants to heal before we go, and I called out the first thing, and there was no response. And that always feels amazing, you know. Just really launches the meeting in another level. Just powerful. You know, so I said, well, I better call out the other one and see if that one might work. I was just about ready to say, has anybody ever had a headache in your life before? Just to get some kind of a response, you know, just. And I said, well, here we go. I said, does anybody have this condition? And nothing. I heard a cricket over on one side of the room. Nothing. It was just quiet. I believe I heard what the Holy Ghost was saying to me. I said, that's what I got. I said, so if no one has those, either one of those conditions, I said, we'll just praise the Lord and get ready to go. So that's what we did. We dismissed the service, and we went after dismissed the service, went to the back room, and you know, the back room's where there's a lot of chipping and dipping going on. That's what's going on back there, chipping and dipping. So we were back there, and we were eating and fellowshipping, and got done, and we said, it's time to go. Went out to the parking lot, got in our car, and the pastor's wife came running to our car. We just had the car in reverse. We were backing up, getting ready to leave the church, and the pastor's wife just came running. She goes, Kevin. She's waving her arm. She goes, Kevin. She goes, you know that first thing that you called out? She goes, that was somebody that was in the nursery or helping out in the kitchen in the back. And so can we bring her out here? I go, absolutely, bring her right. And she came right to the car, right through the car window. We ministered to her. Right through the window. And we said, you must be healed. Your deliverance is now. We prayed for her, and she was healed. So praise God. She went by, you know, she went back into the building, and Annie and I put the car in reverse, started to back up. All of a sudden, the pastor's wife, she comes running again. She goes, she's waving her arm. She's going, stop, stop. She goes, Kevin, she goes, the other thing that you called out, she goes, that was the other person serving in the back. So neither one of the people who had the conditions that I called out were in the room, they were serving. I just thought that was really interesting, that the two people, when I was seeking him on, Lord, what do you want to heal? He had two people in mind that he specially wanted to get to. He goes, listen, how many of you know God said he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Seek first the kingdom of God and his ways of doing things, and all these things that are pertaining to your life, your finances, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, how you're going to live. He said, listen, just seek first me. Seek first my kingdom. Just serve the family of God. Just serve wherever you can. I will make sure that I get what you have need of. Can I let you in on something? Can I let you in on something? I've already shared this with Patrick. You think it'd be okay if I shared what I shared yesterday, not today, but, you know, about the banquet and all that? You think that'd be all right, or are we premature on that? Is it? We got a surprise. It's really good. You're really going to like it. And we can't wait till it happens. Yeah, we'll talk. We'll give you more details. But, Yeah. No, there are so many blessings that are going to happen to this ministry. And the ministries that involve the family churches. And we just know some things. We've seen some things. We're going to taste some things. We're going to experience some things. But, man, I have a knowing. I guess we're not free. See, it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Annie Durant, isn't it? So... don't want to get ahead of my wife, I mean the Holy Ghost. Mess up and do something wrong. How many of you have a spirit of faith? You know, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, we have believed and therefore have we spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. I believe someone already said, I don't know if it was Pastor Mike or Annie, said about Joshua and Caleb. The Bible says they had another spirit. You know, they were told to go seek out the land because God had promised them this particular land. They were told to go seek it out and bring back a report. Just come back and give us a report on what you see. Not to give an interpretation on what you see. Just tell us what you see. Well, you know, the 10 spies came back and they said, oh, there's giants in the lands. The walls are great. They had formed an opinion that there's just no way they could take this company of people, and because of the fortress that they, you know, lived behind and the giants and everything was so big and they were overwhelmed by what they saw. But then there was two people, Joshua and Caleb. It says they came back and they had another spirit. They have a spirit of faith. You know, you can have a spirit of fear or you can choose to have a spirit of faith. It's your choice. You know, I remember there was a movie trailer, not that I watch movies. It was probably on TBN or something. But there was a trailer that said, thank you for your, see, I love this church. I love this church. Listen, some of the movies that I've seen have been on airplanes, but, you know, they used to, you know, take things out if you're on an airplane, and they still do. And so, you know, you never want to recommend that you ever saw something, because just about the time you recommend some movie, then it's just, there's something that goes wrong, you know. And so, you know, it's like, anyways. Joshua and Caleb. They had another spirit, but they saw something different than the other 10 spies. They came back and said, glory to God. Do you know what we saw? We saw that God is bigger than we even imagined. God has actually told us, that's our land. These amazing city walls are already built, and there are giants there, and God actually told us that we're going to slay our giants. We're going to take that city, and they're going to be just under our feet, and we're going to take the spoils. They had another spirit. What I was saying about the movie trailer was, in this trailer, you know, they always got that deep voice. The danger is real, but the fear is your choice. You know what? Fear is a decision. You can make up your mind on whether you're going to take a care, be fearful, or say, you know what? These people, this enemy is nothing for us. And God wants you to have a spirit of faith, and He's pleased with faith. Any measure of faith, that's what pleases Him. And without that kind of faith, you cannot please Him. Matter of fact, you become righteous. You became the seed of Abraham by faith. Because of your faith towards God and your faith in Jesus and becoming born again, you have received an inheritance. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham, everyone say the blessing of Abraham, may come unto the Gentiles. Well, that's us. The blessing of Abraham. We've been redeemed unto the blessing of Abraham. We've been redeemed unto the promise of the Spirit. We get to receive the Holy Spirit, and aren't you thankful for that? Are you appreciative of the anointing, His presence on your life? Are you appreciative of the blessing of the Lord? Are you appreciative of the favor of God? These things are real. These things are real. The spiritual realm was here long before the natural realm. You may not be able to see it, but thank God the Bible says those things that you can't see, those things are eternal. If you see a situation in your life that isn't acceptable to you, the Bible calls that temporal. So if there's something that you see that isn't what you want to keep seeing, the Bible calls it temporary. But in the spirit realm, the provision of the Spirit, the anointing, the blessing, the favor, those things that God has provided for us, they are real. Make no mistake about it, they are so real. And when the blessing of the Lord comes upon you, things change. When the anointing comes on you, things change. He takes ordinary things and makes them supernatural things. Ordinary things aren't ordinary anymore. They become supernaturally assisted and empowered by the supernatural God that we serve. And aren't you glad that the Bible says that with man, it's impossible. But then Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. In Matthew chapter 19, God said, with God, all things are possible. Everyone say, all things are possible.
All things are possible.
You know, Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above, I like what the Amplify says, dare ask or think. Dare ask. But I like that the blessing of the Lord is ready for us, available to us. The anointing is available to us. How many of you know you're anointed? You know, Sunday morning, if you weren't here, I strongly encourage you to get the tape. We had an update on the anointing and that we're anointed and how to activate the anointing. How many of you know how to activate the anointing? One of you do. Let me ask that one more time. How many of you know how to activate the anointing? How many of you were here Sunday morning? Then all of you know how to activate the anointing. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. But we have spiritual equipment available to us. I remember one time Dr. Dufresne was at a church, and this pastor had had Dr. Dufresne come in, and I mean, the anointing was so rich, and after the service, the ministry time of the word, doctor called all these ministers up there, and I mean, he was laying hands on people and giving them these amazing words, talking about things about their ministry and how think God's turning things and he's going before them and how, you know, provision's coming and it'll only take this long and this is, you know, what is being added to your ministry. I mean, just amazing things were ministered and prophesied in this meeting. Then one of the last people to be ministered to was the host pastor. He's the one that paid for the jet fuel, the hotel rooms, all the food, including food for all the ministers that showed up. So this minister has a lot, this pastor has a lot invested in this meeting. So finally, Dr. Dufresne got to this, the pastor, the host pastor. He just said, "Be blessed!" Boom, he's on the floor, the pastor, the host pastor. Well, he was kind of, you know, he experienced something. But as he's laying there, he goes, "Wow." He goes, "All these other ministers that I invited," he goes, "they got these amazing words." He said, "And all I got was be blessed." And the Holy Ghost said, aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost said, "Well, it's obvious you don't know what the blessing of the Lord means." If I remember right, David, he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. And but one of his men did something that he was instructed not to do. And when that happens, something's going to go wrong. Yeah. Uzzah reached up and touched the ark, and all of a sudden the power, the fire, the glory of God hit him, and it killed him. Well, David got offended. God killed my number one man. So he takes the ark over to Obed-Edom's house and leaves it there for a few months. Well, just so happens, Obed-Edom, he was ready for a blessing. And all of a sudden, he's got the Ark of the Covenant. That means he's got the presence of the Lord. He's got the favor. He's got the blessing. He's got the anointing. He's got God right in his house. And David gets word that all of his families were blessed. And their crops were multiplying. And people who couldn't bear children, all of a sudden, they were having children. And things were beginning to multiply. And all of a sudden, all the equipment that they had started working. All of a sudden, the plows didn't need to be repaired so much. All of a sudden, all the things that they were struggling with, they weren't struggling anymore. And David got hurt of that. He goes, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That blessing is supposed to be mine." So he gets 30,000 men and goes, "We're going to go to Obed-Edom's house." Can you imagine opening up your door and there's 3,000 people saying, "We're here for the ark"? I tell you what, and then David realized how foolish it was to have an attitude towards the one who provides it all. The one who provides it all. And so they secure the ark, and it says they made it a whole six paces, and something had to happen. David didn't even make it six paces. While he's walking six paces, all he can think about is that when he gets that ark back home, everything is changing. So he goes, one, he's got 30,000 people. Flautists, harpers, people who play the harp, little timpani players. They got a little, you know, Israel band going. You know, he's brought the band. He's brought everybody. Six paces. One, this is going to be so good when I get that ark back. Two, no one's going to be sick anymore. Three, we're going to have more overflow. There's going to be abundance. There's going to be increase of rivers. We're not going to have any. Four, five, things are about to change for us that we have never seen it so good, because Jehovah Jireh is actually in our house. Six, I can't help it. Strike up the music. I got to do a little dance. Woo! Hallelujah!
I can't help it. I can't help it. We just got to dance a little while. He was excited about the blessing. He was excited about the anointing. He was excited about the presence of the Lord. Y'all put your music, put your musical instruments away. We got a little ways to go. Let's get going. One. Oh, it's just going to be so good. Two. You know what? There's things that we've wanted to know about that we just couldn't quite put our finger on. And he knows everything. He's going to tell us things that we've been needing to know for years. Three. No more sickness. No more disease. In the presence of the Lord, there was a rose. There was manna. Never spoiled. Never rotted. In the presence of the Lord, everything lives. In the presence of the Lord, things change. In the presence of the Lord, things begin to blossom. In the presence of the Lord, things get turned around. In the presence of the Lord, things change. In the presence of the Lord, things get rearranged. In the presence of the Lord, things are restored. They get restored. They get restored in His presence. Hallelujah. Got to the sixth step, and he had to do it all over again, celebrate. I could only imagine how long it took him to get that ark back. Every six steps, you know, just having to break out their instruments and have a little party. Couldn't help himself. You know what? Our covenant with Jesus started a long time ago. We're of the seed of Abraham. Abraham had provision. Abraham had a covenant that was beyond comprehension. Because God told Abraham, I'm going to bless your seed. I want you to come outside. Come out of the house. Come outside here with me. I want you to look up on a clear night. Look at all those stars. And God said, Abraham, see all those stars? That's what you're, for generations to come, that's how many seeds of your life there's going to be. People from you and Sarah. Now God's speaking that to him, but at this point their bodies, they Sarai, which became Sarah, princess, isn't it something that God changed Sarai to Sarah and gave her a name that meant princess, so that Abram, who became Abraham, the father of many nations, could look at her differently and see her as the princess that God wanted him to see. That's sweet of him, isn't it? Now, if you look at Romans chapter 4, would you turn there? You mind going deep a little bit tonight? Romans chapter 4, if all you read about Abraham was reading what it says in Romans chapter 4, you would think that he never, ever doubted God. I tell you what, I've almost over-meditated today. And I've got about 20 ways to get to where I want to get to. And that's the wonderful thing about the Loketics, the barn, or whatever we call that. Such a wonderful place. It's just been saturated by the peace of God. And, I mean, you can't help but hear from the Lord there. And I almost overdid it. I know that sounds funny, but I've actually got almost too much in me. And that makes it challenging as a minister. So I'm trying to cut out 75%. There's something I really, really, really... We love you. And I'm trusting that what we minister tonight, that you know that it comes from a pure motive. Do you know that there's 500 scriptures, over 500 scriptures on the subject of healing? I have a friend that just did a new study. He's coming out with a syllabus where he said that there's over 2,000 scriptures pertaining to prosperity and about your finances. Anybody think that God might be interested in wanting to do something for you? I want to help some people tonight have the anointing destroy the yoke of fear concerning your finances. I want to help you see how big God is. That thing that makes you feel tight during offering time, I know what having a spirit of lack feels like. I know what having a poverty mentality, I know that. I grew up in a modest home, very modest, below middle class. But thank God I had parents that always drove around the nice neighborhoods. When I went to, you know, school, I wanted the individual package Frito-Lays. My mom got the 10-barrel drum, you know, that you, for 2 years she could just keep filling up the individual. You know, I felt like a loser at school, you know, because you could tell the rich kids, they had the individually cool, individually, and, you know, I had, and little things you kind of notice that maybe there's a spirit of lack mentality or spirit of poverty. I'm not talking about a demon. I'm talking about a spirit of, like you can have a spirit of faith. You can have a spirit of prayer. You can also have yielded to a spirit of poverty, a spirit of lack. And a lot of it has to do with your surroundings and your environment and how you were raised. A huge amount. I met Pastor Loketic here about, how many years was it? 2002? And I've watched the blessing of the Lord come on this couple. And it wasn't something sought after. It's just something that happens when you get under the influence of people who have big thinking, spirit of faith, a spirit of prosperity. The way they talk, the way they walk, the way they do things. They didn't get there overnight, but as they were faithful, the faithful man shall abound with blessing. The willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land. Jesus became poor, even though he was rich, he became poor so that you would be established with good, wealthy, have plenty. I'm not talking about spiritual, talking about goods, money, material things. Now, in case there's a thought that kind of tries to enter into your mind, it shouldn't be there. You know, a good friend, pastor, a friend of mine, he said, Lord, I want my people to get it in the area of prosperity, but I don't want them to get covetous. And you know what the Lord said to him? He goes, my word does not produce covetousness. We're not talking about hoarding up things. We're not talking about lusting. Matter of fact, the Bible says you're not supposed to lust after things. You're just supposed to ask and receive. There shouldn't be any element of having. He said, you seek first the kingdom and my righteousness. These things should just happen. But so we're so busy trying to figure out the B plan, the C plan, and try to work a couple jobs and miss church because we, you know, got to work, miss church because, you know, we got jobs and we got more jobs and trying to make things happen. You know, we can't quite make it to the church. Can't quite make it to the revival. We got more jobs to do. But what's all that going on about? What's all that effort going on about? he just said, hey, you're supposed to just ask and receive, because you do the asking, I do the doing. You just do the asking, I do the doing. You don't have to lust for it. You don't have to crave it. You don't have to get asking for foolish things. Just seek me. Just fall in love with me, serve the kingdom. These things happen. This is what happens to people who are obedient. They're surrendered. They're yielded. They stay where the flow is. They got in the river. They got in the river of God. These things just are supposed to happen. When you get in the river, you just get wet. You get filled in the river. It's not supposed to be hard. So I was at a Spanish church a year and a half ago, and bless their hearts, sometimes the culture of Spanish, Hispanic people, they've been suppressed and under the thumb for so long, sometimes that carries over into the church, and you can see it on groups of people. And it's not just one ethnic group. Sometimes it's from church to church we see it. If the pastor doesn't have a spirit of prosperity, the church won't have a spirit of prosperity. I was at this church, and all of a sudden it was offering time. And I know there was such a casualness during the offering. People just kind of, they had some baskets up here. I just noticed people were coming up there and just kind of tossing it in there and kind of going back. I could see such a lack of reverence. I saw such a lack of enthusiasm. I said, Lord, what's going on? Because I didn't see any. The Bible says God loves a what kind of giver? Here's one way you can monitor yourself. I'm going to get to my message in a second. We'll get back to it. But here's something I so want to help you. I'm asking the Lord to help me help you. If during the offering time, if you start feeling the slightest bit tight, you may need help. Now, I need money. No, you need revelation, honey. You think you need money. What you need is revelation. It's not a money issue. It's a revelation issue. I saw these people just, and so you know what? I called the pastor up. I gave it some time. I didn't want to just get right there on the pastor and say that. I said, Pastor, here's what I saw. He was open in his heart. He goes, I'll accept your help. So I went and I preached something similar to what you're going to hear tonight. This week they sent us a new picture of a brand new building. We went in there and we kicked out some unbelief. We went in there and we turned over some stubborn, hardened ground and some reluctancy to receive the provision of the Lord. It's imperative, it's necessary for you to have great provision. It's important for the church's future. They got a new building. I'm just looking at that. I thought, the Word did that. The Word. We sowed the Word into people. Just while I was there, they gave the largest offering. The pastor said, they've never given like that, ever. And then they kept giving. And I recommended another minister that needed to go in there to minister, to help break up some more of that ground. Now there's an enthusiasm. There's something that's going on with people. See, wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Your giving is the ultimate trust. It is the ultimate trust. Your money means something to you. That's why it was so odd to watch these people just kind of toss it in, and then some other people, they were just kind of standing around talking during the offering, You could tell they weren't into it. You could tell that there was no joy. I love the way Pastor Mike receives offerings here. Because there's a skipping a step. There's a smile on his face. He's walking in it. He knows how what a blessing it is and will be to you. So when he gets up there, he's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. He just gets up here and full of joy, excited. You know what? As preachers, when we found out that it's joy that God's looking for in your giving, then it made it our responsibility to help you get happy about your giving. Once he said he loves a cheerful giver, that became our assignment to make you really happy about your giving. That's our assignment. That's our assignment. That's our assignment. Make you happy about your giving. And if you're not happy, something's wrong. Because there's a fear. If during the offering time, if you feel yourself getting a little tight, you may have a spirit of lack. There's help. The danger is real. But the fear is your choice.
Help us.
Annie and I, this year, we decided we are going to be the happiest givers we have ever been in our lives. I'm not giving in an offering I'm not excited about and I'm not happy about. Listen, hang on to that loser seat. I say loser, I'll tell you why I called it loser seed. Faith is what activates grace.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yeah.
You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to someone and say, you know the grace.
You know the grace.
You know the grace. It's a grace. It's an empowerment for you to prosper. But what activates the grace? It's faith activating the grace. So if what's going to bring the prosperity and the provision of the Lord and increase to you, it's going to be the favor of the Lord by grace, but then that grace is activated by faith. That's why it's important. You know, Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope or your expectation fill you with two things, peace and joy. So those are two ways to monitor, and this is about healing. This is about what you're standing for your family, whatever it is you would desire or need God to do for you. This is how it works. It's grace. It's God's empowerment that gets it done. It gets done when faith is released, when you act in faith. Well, if you're in faith, what would faith look like? Peace and joy. So you can't give in faith and then have poopy pants. I'm just saying. People say, well, I'm standing. We're believing God. Agree with us. We're standing. No. Who I haven't seen, I love. And though I've seen and not, I believe, number one, then I rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Then I receive the end of my faith. How does it start? I believe. That means I've released faith. And then if you're in faith, you have joy and peace. You got a shout of praise. You can't help it. You're excited. You're rejoicing about it. You can't help it. You just get your happy clothes on. You're standing. And the way that standing looks like is glory to God. This thing is about to go down. I got something from Him. I got His Word. I got the winning number. I don't have to go to casino. I got the lottery number. I am blessed. I'm blessed. I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't help it. I got Him. I got not milk. I got Him. Did you find Romans chapter 4? If you read Romans chapter 4, and this is all you know about Abraham, you would think, man, I'm glad we're the seed of Abraham. I'm glad he's the father of faith. Man, I'm so thankful for Abraham's example. Man, we are hooked up with Abraham. We're of his seed. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. redeemed under the blessing of Abraham. I mean, is this not? I mean, Abraham is amazing. No failure, always trusting, happy in God. Isn't that how you see Abraham? Hold on to that. It says in verse 19, and not being weak in faith. Now listen to this person we're describing. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. Everyone say about 100 years old. This is very important. Now, we're not going to send you through a math lesson, but the numbers that we're about to call out tonight are really important to you. So when he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that whatever he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted unto him for righteousness because he believed God. Abraham was righteous because he believed God. Now, is that the Abraham you know? That's the Abraham I know. But look back to Genesis chapter 17. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I was in a meeting with Leroy Thompson. Andy and I have done some meetings with some amazing people. I mean, we were in a camp meeting where Andy and I were one of the speakers, and the other speakers was Pastor Scott Webb, Jerry Savelle, and Kenneth Hagin. I thought, how in the world did we get here? We've done all kinds of meetings like that. One meeting, we were with Leroy Thompson one time in Ohio. And the Lord has... There was something in me. I was prophesied to a number of years ago down in Sarasota, Florida. I was in this meeting. And this minister that was there, he's, I don't know how wealthy he is. He has banks and hotels around the world. We had an extraordinary service that night. Pastor had an open vision laying over here. About eight missionaries were absolutely laying out in the bushes. Am I telling the truth? Laying out, falling out. Pastor had an open vision. The glory of God hit this place. It was amazing. This businessman minister got up. He said, there's five people here that's going to be millionaires. I was one of them that he called out. I might have grew up in a very modest, very frugal home. But I've got an assignment. So do you. And there's things that we have to do. And we're very underfunded, to be honest with you. But that's all about the change. Come on. That is all the next 6 years. We're going to see prosperity. I tell you what, you get Googling some stuff, and I'll tell you what, there are people that are still trying to sell books on how to make it through the Great Depression. Not this place. Not my house, not even the church as a whole. That's not even happening. And that's what I tell you right now. President Trump will have the next 4 years. I'm just telling you right now. Saw that in a dream just a couple weeks ago, right before the Ukraine thing blew up. So glad the Holy Ghost showed me that right before. I saw myself getting up in this church. I didn't know I was going to say it till just now. I saw myself at this church saying that. Didn't know it was. I was totally ready not to say that. But I'm just telling you right now, President. And it really, in one sense, it's not even a stretch. But I tell you what, the attacks that have been going on, it would be actually easy to think that something could go wrong. But I'm telling you, he's going to be the president for the next 4 years. What's going to happen? There's going to be great prosperity. But it's not just what Trump's doing. It's what God's doing. What God's doing. What was I talking about? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. There's something in me that is screaming to come out. Will it happen? Will I see what I saw in the spirit realm, finally see it in the natural realm? Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Fire! 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 Shut up in your bones! Fresh fire. Something in me wants to come out. So I was in this meeting with Lori Leroy Thompson. Remember that? And the Lord had just shown him something. You will see it. You're going to see it. You're going to see all of it. Hallelujah. Hope I'm not scaring anybody. I don't mean to be weird or anything. This is just how it happens sometimes. Be blessed. You're entitled. Be blessed. Fresh fire. Fire, fire, fire. Fire. A new fire. New fire. From heaven, everything becomes easier when the fire. So I was in this meeting with Leroy Thompson, and the Lord had just had an experience with him. He was at a checkout stand, and the clerk that was checking him out said, "Boy, money sure comes and money goes." And Brother Thompson goes, "Yeah, money comes and money goes." He gets in his car, and the Holy Ghost said, "Oh, so money goes, huh? I'm telling you, money cometh. And I want you to say it out of your mouth. Money cometh to me now in Jesus' name." He preached that night. I tell you, folks, I didn't know what was going to happen. Listen, it's just people getting up over there. Look over here. If anyone walks differently or gets up differently than something you've ever seen before, I promise I won't let you miss it. I promise. I won't let you miss it. So, I'm sitting there, and he's saying what the Lord had appeared to him and delivered to his spirit, and there was such fresh revelation, and I literally felt chunks of poverty just falling off of me. I felt chunks. It was flaking off. I'm my spirit man sitting here, and I've had all this stuff all over me for a long time. It's called a yoke of bondage. God wants you free. God wants His body. He wants you free. He wants your family free. He wants your finances to come to a level that you've never seen before. Amen. Isn't that what you need, Brother Jeff? Stand up right here. Is that what you need, right?
Yes. Yes.
You don't have any idea how close you are and how much He loves you. He sees everything. He sees you standing outside in the early hours. Get ready. Get ready. Because He's visiting your house. And when He comes to your house, He'll bring you out. Now, I got an assignment for you. If you'll purpose in your heart not to be seen and recognized of men, get that out of you. You become proficient at that. And everything will be just the way you had seen and desired it to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I felt chunks. Felt chunks falling off of me. Went to New York from that meeting. Got with some friends of ours, Ray Jean and Beth Wilson. I had known that they'd been flying in Brother Copeland's jet with Brother Savelle and Jesse DePlantis. We got in this hotel room and we stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning because they were downloading into us. They were pouring themselves into us. They knew that we needed to come up. And I was looking and listening to my friend Ray Jean, who had been a singer with us with Brother Hagin. We were all just kids. Barely knew what we were doing. But God was, he was preparing us all. But we were all just above broke. He's pouring into us. And I'm looking at my friend Ray Jean, I'm thinking, wow, he's turned into another person. I can't tell you right now. We don't have the time to tell you everything that he spoke that night. I'd love to have the time to tell you that. But the things he spoke penetrated us. And just being around someone who caught the spirit of faith, caught the spirit of prosperity. You say, well, how will I know when I have a spirit of prosperity? You'll be excited and happy every time it's offering time. You will be well on your way. When pastor gets up and it says it's offering time, inside, you don't have to get wild and crazy every time, but inside you'll go touching something here. It's not leaving my hand. It's not leaving my life. I mean, it might be leaving my hand right now, but it's not leaving my life. Matter of fact, it's leaving my hand and it's going into the supernatural multiplication system thing. God's supernatural multiplication ball of what energized Zoe's Jehovah Elohim El Shaddai Jehovah Nisi Jehovah Rapha. It's all in there, and it takes your money and it just mixes it, and then he pours it back to you. Just pours it back to you. How does it happen? When the Lord shall come upon you. Remember what he told Mary? How will this be, Lord? The Holy Spirit. That's how he's going to do it. I've never done that before. But in the spirit realm, I just see this God just taking your offering and just... Get it in you. He's got so much more. He's got so many ways. So many ways. You know, we were married 25 years, and I said to the Lord, you know, he said he'd do exceeding abundantly above all that you dare ask or think. This is the only time I've done this. 25th anniversary. We've been in our ministry for a number of years. And I said, Lord, we don't have a church. You know, I think it's an awesome, amazing thing. You know, this is actually Pastor Acknowledgement Month. Appreciation Month. And I said, Lord, we don't have a church that appreciates us. We're not pastors. And I just said, really, no, I didn't say it. I was just thinking this. He knows my heart. I said, Lord, would you want to do anything special for us? I mean, I just felt like, you know, it's our silver. Everyone say silver.
Silver.
It's our silver anniversary. Everyone say anniversary.
Anniversary.
Say silver anniversary.
Silver anniversary.
So I said, Lord, I'm thinking to myself, Lord, would you want to do anything for us? Well, just so happens, I promise you, this wasn't high on the list priorities. I wasn't getting all stirred up about having a motorcycle. And this was way before Annie. She's taken over, man. She's so surpassed me. She's Miss Harley girl. And but I was thinking, Lord, I've always had this on my vision list. The first of every year, you know, we just said, Pastor Webb always preached on vision. Because, you know, you're 50 times more likely for, this isn't even spiritual speaking. This is just, this was a report, a study done by doctors, that you're 50 times more likely for whatever you write down to come to pass, for it to come to pass. If you'll just write it down, you're 50 times more likely for whatever it is you wrote down to come to pass. Well, that's just Bible. That's a Bible principle. Write the vision so that you can run. And so I just wrote down Harley Davidson. You know, wasn't any big. Well, it just started all of a sudden one year, it got bigger in us. And so I had, around this time, was getting close to our anniversary. I said, Lord, we were on a motorcycle ride up in Michigan. And all of a sudden it just dropped in me, we need to ask him for one. We so did not have the money for it. And I said, Lord, would you pick out the motorcycle you know I would want? Because there are so many different kinds. Anybody knows anything? So many different models. I said, Lord, I don't even know what kind I want. I don't even want to shop for it. I just want you. I'm asking you for the motorcycle you know that would really bless us. That's all I said. 6 weeks later, I'm in Maui, Hawaii. Sunday morning service, I walk out of the pastor's office. It was right over here. Walked out, and his motorcycle was over here. This is an anniversary Harley Davidson. 103 was the anniversary model. Black and chromed out. It has some attitude. He knows what I like. Just saying. Vance and Hein custom pipes on it. It only has 6,000 miles on it. It's been kept in pastor's garage. He said when we went riding the day before this day, he said the Lord said, you know what, Pastor Wayne? It's Pastor Wayne. He said, Pastor Wayne, he goes, you know, you're believing me for such and such. He goes, why don't you sell your motorcycle to Kevin and Andy and let me show you how I'll bring it back so much better to you. So on the motorcycle ride, we got to a point where he had me sit on his motorcycle and he's taking pictures. I had no idea. He's getting ready to give it to me the next day. So where pastor calls me up to the pulpit, he goes, you all know that we love Kevin and Annie here. The Lord told us that they are our visitation to our ministry. Now, I know that they like the family churches better than us, but let me just tell you what it is. I threw that in there, but it's true. It's true. It's true. You know, we're not quite like the family churches, but we really love them here. And he told him what the Lord said to him. He turned to me, he goes, Brother Kevin, here's the keys to my motorcycle. This is an anniversary motorcycle. With my dress clothes, I drove and rode the bike straight out of the church to our hotel. He had it tuned up, shipped overseas to our place. Well, just during that same time, Annie gets invited to minister at Kenneth Hagin's, over the Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Lynette Hagin's Kindle the Flame. She has a meeting for women every year. It's about 1,700 to 2,000 women that go there every year. Well, Annie's ministered at that meeting several times. Well, while she's ministering there, after the meeting, you're going to like this. Now, listen, this is, everyone say, only God.
Only God.
So she's ministering, and after the meeting, we didn't know this was going on. But someone gave two, now this is going to be a foreign word to you. You're going to think, is he talking Greek or Hebrew? What's that coming out of his mouth? Someone designated 5 monster boxes to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. He said, I want 2 of these monster boxes to go to Ann Durant. You're asking right now, what is a monster box? A monster box comes from the U.S. Treasury. It has silver coins in it. It's hard, hard plastic, and if it's uncirculated coins if it has a metal band around it. Each box has 500 silver coins, uncirculated. They gave 2 boxes to Annie, and we didn't know they had done that. And so we're having Rhema had this family reunion meeting, had all the Rhema singers, the band from over the years. People had traveled with Brother Hagin. It was the biggest crowd at Rhema I have ever seen. Lynette Hagin's secretary came to Annie and I in the back room and said, hey, by the way, there's something that we've overlooked telling you. No, yeah, it's her secretary. She goes, someone gave you 2 monster boxes. Monster box, what's that? It's 2 boxes from the U.S. Treasury, has coins in it. Would you like to receive that? Is this a trick question? What? Wait a minute. How long ago was these given? You know, it's like. that night, I had to have some help. I was walking to my car after the church service like this. I mean, I had to do the little back lean because it was heavy, walking to the car. Silver coins, they're heavy. Just so happens, they had held on for it for about a couple years. And we needed a new roof on our house. We had 6,000 square foot, 3,000 was house, 3,000 was our offices right next door. We had actual leaks. It was going to be about $14,000 to do both places. Sort of glad Kenneth Hagin Ministries held on to that gift, because when we turned the coins in, it was $18,000. So here's what happened. I said to the Lord, "Lord, would you want to do anything? I know you're a rewarder, you see. I'm just thinking, would you want to do anything for our silver 25th anniversary?" Well, what God had in mind, he goes, "I don't really want to do something. I'm going to show off a little bit. I'm going to give you, for your silver anniversary, I'm going to give you 1,000 silver coins that's going to pay for your roof on your house, and I'm going to give you an anniversary motorcycle." Just expand a little bit. Just let it happen. Let something fall off of you tonight. Just let it fall off of you. I've never preached anything like I'm preaching right now, this message. So, what's going on with Abraham? Could you look at here in the Genesis chapter 17? Remember, we read Romans chapter 4. Boy, Abraham's a powerful, dynamic, faith-filled man. Never going to doubt God. Fully persuaded. Whatever he promises, I know he's going to do it. Isn't that right? Isn't that what he said? Now look at verse 17. Well, let's back up verse 15. Then God said to Abram. Now let me give you a real quick setup here. God promised Abram and Sarai they're going to have a child, and from their seed was going to plenish the earth, right? As many stars as you can see in the sky. Well, that word came to them, and Sarai's about 77 years old, past bearing children. So her womb is dead. According to medical science, if your womb's dead, you can't have a child. Now, I'm just going to drop this out to you. But in the 14th chapter, Abram brought a tithe to Melchizedek. It's the first giver recorded. Brought it to Melchizedek, the priest. And it says he brought it to the Most High God, which is Elohim. Now, Elohim is the God who creates nature. Elohim is the one who establishes natural law. According to natural law, you know, we got the law of lift, we got the law of gravity. Aren't you glad you're not floating up out of your seat right now? There's the law of seed time and harvest. God created all these laws. For a woman's womb to be dead, it's naturally impossible. According to what Elohim, God is, there's different names for God. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah, what? Rapha, Shalom, Kikkenu. So God's got different names. These different names represent different abilities of God. Everyone say different abilities of God. So if all you know, see, Abram at the time, he only knew Elohim. That's the only God he had been introduced to. Something's getting ready to change. Because Elohim told Abram, "You're going to have a child. Going to be as the stars in the sky." And Abram and Sarah are thinking, "Wait, this can't happen. I mean... It's just not going to happen." So Sarai convinced Abram to go and sleep with Hagar. You know the story. We get Ishmael. Do you know that Abram did something differently than what God was really saying? Didn't fully obey him. And as a result, he didn't hear from God again for 13 years. You want to obey God. because you don't want to be dull in hearing. And so, knowing that in verse 15, then God said to Abraham, you know he changed his name, "As for Sarai, your wife shall be called her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and I'll also give you a son by her." Now, she's about 77 years old, I guess, at this point. "Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Everyone say 100 years old. "And shall Sarah, who is 99, now she's 99 years old, bear a child?" Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might," you know, he's totally in disbelief. Then God said, you know, "Can it be Ishmael?" And then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him." So God just promised Abraham, Sarah's going to have a child. The moment he said that to Abraham, Abraham goes, "What? You got to be kidding me." If I had water in my mouth, I'd spit it out just to demonstrate how just crazy that had to sound. God, listen, look at Sarah. See what's going on here? I know she's called princess now, but there's stuff going on here. Just saying. Are you kidding me? He falls on his face and laughs in the presence of the Lord. Wait a minute. Romans 4, what did he do? Fully persuaded. Whatever God said, boy, I'm all in with God. He can do anything. Anything. Well, the reason why he can, there's not much difference between, there's not much space in about 100 years old or 99 and a half, almost 100 and 100 years old. There's not much. Romans chapter 4, he's 100, fully persuaded. Genesis chapter 17, he's laughing in the face of God at about 99, maybe and a half, almost 100. Come on with me. What has happened in 5 months? Could anything change in 5 months in your life? Verse 1 says, "And Abraham was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God." In case you don't know what Almighty is, that's El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the Mighty One. Everyone say the Mighty One.
Mighty One.
The Blessed One. The one who can nourish all of his children all at the same time. Up till now, Abram only knew Elohim, the one who establishes natural laws. He created it. He causes it to be. But what was standing in the way from Sarah having a child was a natural thing. According to medical science, it's impossible for her to bear a child. She knows that. Abraham knows that. There's no way this has happened according to the laws that Elohim, the only God she knew. So in chapter 17, verse 1, God Almighty, I'm going to give you another definition, a definition of El Shaddai. Not just the Mighty One, the Breasted One, the one who can nourish all of his children at the same time. Here's another definition that better describes what Almighty God means. El Shaddai. It's the one who can supersede natural laws. It's the one who can reverse, override, and supersede natural law. According to natural law, it's impossible for an axe head to swim. But in 2 Kings, the prophet
Elisha, someone came to him with a need for an axe because they were chopping wood and the axe head flew off, this iron axe head flew up in the water, and they came to Elisha saying, hey, we have this borrowed axe and we're in trouble if we don't bring this axe back. What can we do? And the prophet Elisha takes a branch from off of a tree and just smote the water, and all of a sudden this axe head starts swimming to the... How many of you know there's several laws that are wrong about that? Do y'all remember in Joshua chapter 10 when Joshua was in a battle? And he's in the middle of this war, and all of a sudden they're running out of daylight. And if they don't have enough daylight, there was an awareness from the captains and from Joshua, they're going to lose this battle if they don't have some more daylight. Joshua is a covenant man. Everyone say a covenant man.
Amen.
He steps out and he goes, sun, moon, stand still. And today, researchers and scientists are still trying to figure out why there's a 24-hour lost period of time. Because a covenant man stood up and declared, sun. Now, you have to understand, it couldn't just be the sun and the moon to stand still. Because all these planets in the universe, if only the sun and the moon stand still, then there's going to be absolute chaos, and God's not the author of chaos. So I think a whole lot more happened than just the sun and the moon staying still. But he says, sun, moon, stand still, and for 24 hours, Joshua chapter 10, you can see the sun and the moon. That's not normal, and that was El Shaddai overriding what Elohim had established. I want to give you a little insight into your covenant with God today. Because when you're with God, you're never stuck. You're never at a dead-end street. If you have a covenant with El Shaddai, you're never at a loss. If you're in a situation where the doctor says, oh, we've never seen anything like this. We're in a hopeless situation. We've never seen anyone recover or overcome from this. Well, praise God, if you're in a hopeless situation and you can't do anything about that situation, that means you just qualify for a miracle for El Shaddai. Because that's what he specializes in. That's what El Shaddai does. He takes unordinary situations and things that should never take place, and he causes it to come to pass just because of one covenant, one person that actually believes him and stepped out in faith and says, I'll take what you can do for me. I'll believe you for what you said in your word you could do. Things changed. Bible says in the last days that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Say, what? While you're getting your seed ready to put it in your ground, your harvest is already coming upon you. Jesus' entry into this earth was on the wings of El Shaddai. Mary, it was impossible for her to have a child. She never slept with a man. So El Shaddai stepped out to the banisters of heaven, looking down on the scene that needed to change. And he says, you're now pregnant with my seed. Did an impossible thing, something that absolutely defies all natural laws, is for a woman who's never been with a man to all of a sudden become pregnant. He came here on the wings of El Shaddai. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Let some stuff fall off of you tonight.
Yes.
Just let something fall off of you. Is there something that just needs to get chipped off a little bit? Just why don't you just do one of these numbers? This is who you're in covenant with. We're talking about people in the Bible who didn't have Jesus living on the inside of them. They only had the Spirit of the Lord upon them. You and I have the Spirit of God in us. My goodness. My goodness. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Glory to God. I see things just falling off of people tonight. I see things breaking off of you. I see you having liberty. I see you tonight stepping up. I see you once and for all, those things that have plagued your mind, the fears, the emotions that have been attached to your giving, and things that you've wondered whether it was going to come to pass. He said it would come to pass. He said it would come to pass. Every word will come to pass at last. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He just needs somebody on the earth who can ask him. Just somebody on the earth that will be bold enough to ask him for whatever it is they're needing for him to do. Remember John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. If you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. Brother Hagin used to share how the different, Greek scholars said that actually means there where he said, and whatever you ask, I will do it, means if I don't have it, I will make it for you. There's no limits with him. No limits with him. You know, maybe you've got something with your eyes that's been just bothering you, and things need to change with your eyes. You know, Annie one time, she went and had LASIK eye surgery done. You know what they did to alter the shape of her eye? You know what they use? They use light. They harness light, make it a laser, and they reshape the cornea. Do you know that God is light? What's his slowest speed? What is it? 186,000 miles per second? Isn't that his slowest speed? 186,000 miles per second? You know, God's not, he's not nervous about the internet being faster than you. He's not going to be able to catch up to the times. He may be ancient, but he ain't old. He's the Ancient of Days, but he's not some old has-been. He is the same God yesterday. He is the same God yesterday. The same God yesterday we just read about, he's the same God yesterday, today, forever, and ever. Same God yesterday. If you only believe, nothing's impossible to him that believes. Hallelujah. You know, one time Annie and I, we were invited to preach at the Kenneth Hagin camp meeting. What an honor that was. I mean, people graced that platform. T.L. Osborne, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, Norval Hayes, Fred Price. I mean, the list goes on. And here Annie and I, just little old Annie and I, ministering at the Kenneth Hagin camp meeting. We were getting ready to do our last album, I See the World in Worship. Because we were doing two versions of it, one in Spanish, it was going to cost $37,000. Now, they always have Ramonite there. Double up, they'd say. They have the ministers come up there, so you can see all the ministers up there. And some of them are given $50,000. Some of them are given some people are given $100,000 towards this Ramonite. We're getting ready to start an album project that week. And all we have in that account is $5,000. That's it. And Annie and I are standing on this platform with people saying $100,000. $50,000. And I'm looking at Annie. I thought, you know, I felt a little small. Do you know that every seed is precious to God? It doesn't matter. I tell you, if it's what means something to you, it's like praise. I heard someone say, you know what, if you're not into your praise, what makes you think God is? God's only into your praise when you get into your praise. That's the praise he inhabits, is when you're into your praise. That other stuff is just whack, 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 whack. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. How much is within you? All that's within me. And so we're standing up there. I said, Annie, we're starting this album this week. We only have $5,000 in an account. I said, it's not enough to do this album. I said, let's just sew it. And so we did. And we were happy. There was such a satisfaction. Man, we were happy about that seed, weren't we? The next day, a man walked up to us. Hey, I'm staying at the same hotel, the Renaissance Hotel there in Tulsa. Are y'all doing anything around 9 o'clock for breakfast? Can you meet us at the restaurant? We'd like to meet you for breakfast. Yeah, we can do it. And so we sat down and had breakfast. He goes, what's going on with you guys? So we're talking, chit-chat. He goes,
Well, you got any projects going on? Like anything you're believing God for? I said, well, the biggest thing on our heart and mind right now is we're getting ready to start this album. It's going to bless many people. Actually, Dr. Dufresne prophesied about that album going around the world. And that was our first album that got globally distributed into Japan. It's gone to Israel. It's gone to South America. Got global distribution. Dr. Dufresne, we were in a service out in, were you there? But Dr. Dufresne comes down the aisle, and he walks towards us, and he goes, what is that, Lord? He's putting his hands together. He goes, what is that? What is that, Lord? So he says, it's kind of shiny, kind of gold-looking. Lord, what is that? And he comes right up to, was it you, Annie? Walks right up to him, and he goes, do you know what that is? Don't you love the Holy Ghost? It's a CD. He was seeing a CD. He goes, the next one you do. Now, what's crazy is we just finished Rivers of Life. Just finished. I'm thinking, Lord, please let it be the one we just did. We just did one. He goes, no, the next one you do is going to go around the world. It did. It did. It did.
Praise God.
It did.
Praise God.
And it will. Fire! It did. So he goes, you got any projects? I said, yes, sir. I said, we're doing an album. He goes, how do they do albums? And then we told him the whole process. He goes, how much does that cost? He goes, we said $37,000 on this one. You know, think about this, folks. We used to sell our CDs for $15. It cost us $37,000. I want you to get the perspective of this. You're holding in your hand something that cost us $37,000. You got it for $15. Ten. Now they're $10. This is a no-brainer good deal. Wouldn't you say? You get something for that was $37,000 and yours cost $10? What's going on with this picture? And so he said, well, when I get back to my office, I'm sending you a check for $37,000. Annie, at the breakfast table of one of the nicest hotels in Tulsa, got up. You go, girl. I happened to be walking in the very office. Our secretary came into the office. She just dumped the mail out. Strangely enough, there was one, it's a pile of mail, and there's one envelope sticking like this out of the pile. I thought, why not? I just happened to be walking in. I just went in and picked it up. Opened up, $37,000. Just like that. Within two weeks, we had that album completely paid for. The reason why I shared a couple of these testimonies with you. Tonight, everyone here believes that he's able. And by now, if you're in a church like this one, you ought to know it's his will. I don't know what it will take. I know I was in that service and I felt chunks falling off. It was just chipping away, poverty thinking. Got to New York. I was there in that hotel room until 4 o'clock in the morning. My friends were just pouring into us. And I felt the spirit of prosperity start to rise. And I felt more chunks falling off. I felt chunks falling off of me. That's what's happened right now. It's what's happening in this room. It's happening. It's happening. And as I'm talking to our friend there, I was told Annie, I said, Annie, the Lord's been dealing with us about sending $500 every month to the ministry in China, my brother's ministry. He does amazing things. He's like the Brother Hagin over there. And I said to Annie, you know what? Actually, the Lord told me this a couple months ago, so we're a couple months behind. So we're going to need to send $1,000 right away. I tell you what, I'm coming out. I'm telling you, there's going to be a moment. If it's not now, it's got to be real soon for you. Come out! Joshua 1:8 says, if you'll meditate in his word both day and night, he will make your way prosperous. One translation says, you will push forward and you'll break out.
Some of you need to push forward a little bit more and then break out. You need to break out. Only the word, and if that word doesn't do it that I share with you today, I don't know how to make God bigger. And I said, okay, so the next day I called my secretary. Right at the beginning, I said, send $1,000 to China. Okay, done. She goes, Kevin, that's interesting that you're doing that. I just today got a FedEx package sent to our office for $1,000 from an Asian woman from California that we have no idea who she is. I'm sending the first $1,000 to China. A Federal Express package comes to my office for $1,000. Now, this gets better. Are you ready? Are you ready to go a little further? That night, we're at Brother Hagin's meeting in New York. You all just got five minutes or so? You okay? Because Pastor is looking a little tired here. I'm not. Are you with me? You okay? You're not. You're fine. We're attending Brother Hagin's meeting. I walk into the building. It's a building that's in the round. It used to be an old dinner theater. And I'm just standing there looking out over this grand auditorium, and Earl B. Coulter comes from off of a distance. This is probably the finest dressed preacher I know in the body of Christ. He's walking towards me. I mean, you can't help it. That's Earl B. Coulter, pastors in Toronto, Canada. I can tell he looks like he's coming towards me. He is coming towards me. He walks up to me, and he hands me an envelope. He goes, Kevin, I want to sell this to you. Now, I had just sent the $1,000. He goes, Kevin, I want to give this to you. Now, I want to tell you something. He goes, I'm breaking out. He said, I only give to people that are givers. I only sow to people who sow and give. That's all I do. I asked the Lord to show me. And so I said, well, how did you know I was a giver? He goes, the Lord told me you were a giver. Evidently, I have moved up the list. Something has changed. I'm moving up the list. The Asian woman, Earl B. Coulter showing up. I get to my seat, go down, get a seat, and I open it up, and it's 50 $20 bills. It's another $1,000. And I'm sitting this in my lap, another $1,000. And the Lord spoke it to my spirit, still small voice. He said, this is so sweet of him. He said, Kevin, your harvest won't always be this quick. He goes, but you're so on the right path. And I had to get this to you right away. I don't want you to forget. Don't want you to not realize you're on the right path. I'm breaking out. Our next meeting, we're in Savannah, Georgia, and a chiropractor says, Brother Kevin, I'm going to start sending $500 a month to your ministry. Chiropractor from Savannah. So a chiropractor now is providing seed to sow. I've already committed $500 a month from now on, and a chiropractor is now sending me $500. Didn't miss a step. And again, the Lord's saying, okay, you're in the flow now. This is how it works. You're in the flow. But I it was so nice of the Lord to say, Kevin, it won't always come this quick. You got to be with God. Sometimes he'll do things just to let you know, come on, this is it. You're stepping up. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Stepping up. Let's go. Stepping up. Stepping up. Let's go. Let that stuff fall. Don't even have a care. Don't have a worry. Is there any reason to believe that I won't come through for you? God said, God will not be mocked. That which a man sows, he will reap. Do you believe that? You know, I've said for years, you can't outgive God. But my checkbook didn't show that. My checkbook didn't show that I really believe I can't outgive him. Now listen, can I love on you a moment? If I had any pastor anointing at all in me, can I just say something pastoral for a moment? Listen, you obey God. If there's anything I've heard from this man right here, he used to send me, he's backed off. I don't know if he's not showing me the love anymore or what, but
He used to all the time send me a text, obey God. I loved that text. It made me think about it all the time because I want to do life with him. I want to live my life supernatural. I don't want ordinary. Do you know that God never intended Abraham and Sarah to have an ordinary childbirth? It was always meant to be supernatural. Annie and I have committed, as we come into great wealth, which we're about to. I told this man, I'm going to say it publicly. I'm about to give this man a gift that's going to make him laugh or cry because of how good it is. It's going to happen. How many times have I said that? Many times. We are on the threshold. But the thing is, you just don't get there overnight. You got to take small steps. I wanted to just say, follow your heart, let yourself expand. The first thing you can do, whether you give $5, $50, $500, the best thing you can do is start getting happy. If you do anything, do it with joy. If you don't have joy, put it back in your pocket. You're not supposed to give under compulsion. If you don't have peace in your heart and you don't have joy unspeakable, it ought to be at a point by now that you go, glory. Now listen, I know we have offerings all the time, don't we? Every time you come to church, there's an offering. Because there's continual expenses for the church and the ministry and what we're doing. And aren't you glad for this place? And because of your giving, I mean, think about the Fredonia Church. You guys had a part in helping them. Did y'all hear that? Do I understand that right? I mean, I don't know the whole thing, but I know this church has had this here in South Dayton. You had a part, and you had a surplus that you could help. Look at the Fredonia Church now. I'm going to go see that tomorrow. I can't wait to go see how that place looks. But the thing is, when the church family gets blessed, but the thing is, the waters. The rivers are flowing. Get in the river. Get in the river. Let your reasoning, let your doubt wash away tonight. God will not let you down. God won't let you down. We have examples in the Word where even in famine, they were instructed to give. And because they gave, even when it seemed like it hurt, we're not suggesting to give out of hurt. God doesn't want to hurt you. But I will say this. If it's just a button on your shirt, sew something. Sew something. Something that you can honestly in your heart say, God, this is what I have. But I encourage you to do what Annie and I are doing. We are going to be the happiest givers we've ever been. Do you want to join the happy club?
Yes.
Come on. Do you want joy? I tell you what, it will be the most beautiful thing in your life when you can once and for all just be free. I want to lead you in a confession. Why don't you say, what? Because you know the power of our words are so powerful. And one can send 1,000 demons to flight. And two can send 10,000. Think about the power of all of us saying the same thing tonight. Are you ready to say something out of your mouth? Do you believe that if we all corporately together launch something in the spirit realm for each and every, let's believe God for each other. Listen, your prosperity matters to me. It matters to me. Our prosperity should matter to you. Because, see, we can't do what we're called to go to Africa and China next year and Colombia and all these places. We can't do it without family church, whether you did anything else. I know, Pastor, I know how these guys roll. We're already going to leave here blessed. I know that. Because I know the honor, I know the love. We're not saying any of this to motivate you. I want to thank you, family church. I was tempted to not want to live anymore.
because I was tired of just barely getting by. Churches used to have 6, 7, 8 ministers a year. Now it's down to 1 or 2 a year. And we've got more evangelists and more ministries out there. Listen, no sad stories. Annie and I, we have been faithfully provided for because of people like you all. When we didn't have meetings. That's why I say, there's a surprise coming. The one that Annie wouldn't let me tell tonight. This Pastor Mike knows. He'll know tomorrow. But something's going to happen. We want to love this church. I'm talking about the family churches. And I want to thank you for helping us get put over when it looked like we weren't going to make it. I'm so thankful I heard when Brother Hagin had to borrow money from his brother. I've had to borrow money from family. And I'm not talking about a long time ago. I know what it means to struggle. I know what you feel. Been there, done that, to the point where I didn't even know if I wanted to keep going on. But I tell you what, the realization of the faithfulness of our God and what I shared with you tonight, what I shared with you tonight is Annie's and my, it's our anchor. Nothing is too big for God. Amen. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for him. Amen. I invite you to have a spirit of faith. I invite you tonight, family church, to let something rise up on the inside of you. Come on out. Have your breakout moment. Have your breakout moment. Come out. Come up. Come out. Come up. And prove, God said, prove me if I will not. It's the one, he's always proven us. But now he's saying, you prove me if I'll not open up the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing. Pastor Mike.
Hallelujah. 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 Are you different?
Yes.
Feel different when those chunks fall off you. Praise God. Wow. We're different.
Amen.
Our future's different.
Yes.
Praise God. We are so blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the increase that's coming. We thank you for the turnaround that's coming in our finances. Yes, we thank you for the supernatural provision that's coming. Debts being obliterated. Yes. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. Praise God. Well, get ready to give, if you haven't already, and get a smile on your face. Praise God. Hallelujah. Reverends Kevin and Annie, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah. Every time that they've been here, not only has our personal life increased, but this church has increased, and it happened again. And we can coerce them to come back again. It'll happen again. Praise God. But are you ready to sow? Are you happy to sow? Are you excited to sow? If you understood what seed time and harvest is, you'd be happy because once you get rid of this thing, it's coming back bigger. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's hold our offerings up before the Lord. Father, thank you for what we've received tonight, what we received in these 5 services starting Saturday night in Allegheny. Lord, we are changed. We are different. Our tomorrows look different because of these meetings. And Father, it is an honor to sow into this ministry. that goes around the world telling people what we got to hear. People being born again, lives being changed, people being delivered, bodies being set free from sickness and disease. Father, thank you for the opportunity to sow into Durant Ministries. And Lord, we just declare over Durant Ministries, we all come into agreement that all the needs of Durant Ministries are met in abundance. And all the personal needs of Reverends Kevin and Annie Durant are met in abundance. But Lord, as we give tonight, we declare your word is true. And Father, you said if we would give, that you would give back to us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We thank you for abundance and increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers, you may serve the people.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. I said I was going to lead you in a confession, and that's what we're going to do. You ready to launch something tonight?
Amen.
Thank you for your gifts again, sowing your seed. We agree for a maximum return on every seed sown. We believe that every one of your needs will be supplied in the name of Jesus. And not only will your needs be supplied, but it will be continued to multiply and gain traction and do more for you so that you can have more to sow into the kingdom of God and participate in his miracle multiplication system. Why don't you stand to your feet? Did you get something tonight? Why don't you just say this after me and say this towards heaven to the high priest, Jesus Christ, the high priest of your confession. He's listening. He hears you when you pray. He's watching. He's listening. He's taking your words that are about to come out of your mouth to the throne of God. He's taking the words that are about to come out of your mouth. He's taking it to God. He's the high priest of your confession. That's what that means. He's going to take the words that are about to come out of your mouth, and he's going to offer it up to the Father. And he's going to say, Father, this is what they're saying. This is what they're saying. This is what they're declaring. So I want you to just say this after me. I don't even know what I'm going to say, but let's believe God together. We're believing God together. Hallelujah. Are you in the Spirit right now? You're more aware of God than you are of yourself. Don't be thinking about going to your car right now. Be in the Spirit, more aware of God than you are of yourself. Focus your attention on about what's about to come out of your mouth. Heavenly Father.
In Jesus' name.
I declare out of my mouth.
I'm free from lack.
I'm free from poverty.
I'm free from a poverty mentality.
The spirit of fear
has absolutely no hold on me.
I don't have a worry.
I don't have a care.
For I cast them all on you,
for you care for me.
And because of your rich provision,
and that you redeemed me
from poverty,
from sin.
I declare out of my mouth right now,
I have a spirit of prosperity.
Money is hunting me down.
The blessing of the Lord is on my life.
There is not any curse
on my finances.
I declare right now in the name of Jesus,
ministering spirits,
go forth and cause the money to come to me.
Money cometh to me now.
Comes to me now.
In Jesus' name.
Money cometh
now.
In Jesus' name.
Money.
You listen to me.
You hearken unto my voice.
You come to me.
Now.
In Jesus' name.
Now, Father.
Father.
You're my heavenly Father.
I don't have to covet anything.
I don't have any lust in my heart.
I'm not having cravings and fightings for money.
You said to just ask and receive.
So I'm asking.
I ask you for a full supply.
I ask you for a full supply.
I thank you that my seed is working.
I thank you that my seed is working.
When I sow,
when I sow,
it's always working for me.
It's working for me.
It's working for the kingdom.
It's working for the kingdom.
The multiplication system
is at work.
Jehovah Jireh,
Jehovah Jireh,
you are my provider.
You are my provider.
It's your grace.
It's your grace.
I'm not going to work for it.
I'm not
going to fret about it.
I'm
not going to worry about my finances.
You're
my heavenly Father.
You're my heavenly Father.
You said you'd take care of me.
So
right now I enter into rest.
I enter into rest.
Now, right now, let peace come to about your finances. Lift your hands and let peace come to you. Peace will come to you right now. And fear about your future finances will leave you. He's already paid the price. He's heard you when you prayed. You're in covenant with him. You're his child. Therefore, he's obligated to take care of you. If you'll do the trusting and let him do the doing, you'll enable him to make a way for you because he's a way maker. Say, Lord, thank you.
Lord, thank you.
I enter into rest,
enter into rest
concerning your promise. I'm not going to
doubt you anymore.
Come on now, let's say that one more time. I want you to think about what you just said. Say, I'm not going to
doubt you
about my finances anymore.
About my giving anymore.
I'm not going to doubt giving and receiving anymore.
The yoke has been destroyed.
The burden has been removed.
The anointing for increase
has come to me tonight.
And I'm going to live in it.
In the name of
Jesus.
Come on, are you believing that?
Do you believe that?
Oh, glory to God, it's on the way.
It's on the way.
Ministering spirits are going, sent forth
for the heirs of salvation tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, glory to God. Annie, do you have anything else you want to, Pastor? Pastor Michael, you sure? Miss Nancy, there's a spiritual song coming out of you right now. You sense it? You feel like a song coming up? Courtney, anybody? Come here, my friend. Come here.
Love you, man.
We're going in the future together.
Yeah.
Amen. I love watching God on him. Don't you?
Yeah.
I'm so thrilled that you have a pastor like Pastor Mike.
Yes.
This is some major quality anointed gift here. And I hope you go all in with him. You know what? The corporate anointing can get so much more done. Don't let your pastors carry the weight of the vision. This is your church. This isn't Pastor Mike's and Courtney's church. Family church, this is your church. If it's going to be, it's up to you. Let's just, all of us, get all in, on board, get behind your pastor, and I tell you what, I have full trust in him. I know Pastor Michael has full trust in this man of God. He's going to hear from heaven, and he's going to lead you into safe pastures. Do you believe that? God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Mike.